Well, thank you, Phil. Don't you love he and Sherry? They're just the best. Thank you for your heart for the kingdom. It's true. It'll take a different approach. And Elwood Church is an example of a handful of churches that I'm working with across the district who are willing to make the greatest sacrifice of all, to give away what they've supported and funded, loved and prayed over, and just literally give it away to the next step, to the next person, to the next opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. And so thank you, Elwood Bunch. Glad you're here tonight. Thank you, Pastor Phil. And I appreciate it greatly. Well, you enjoy the fish tonight. I'm sure you did. My understanding is there are 12 basketfuls left over. I've been waiting all day to say that. I'm just telling you. And I would like to think that this Sunday evening crowd, this return crowd, is because of the great preaching, but I have a feeling it has to do with the fish. So thank you, Phil, for the fish. And, you know, feed them and they will come. And, well, it's been fun to be here tonight and this morning, and thank you for inviting me, Pastor. I thought you'd been raptured, but you're sitting back there. Good. Thank you for your leadership and all that you do. Well, tonight I'm going to give you something to think about. I think I'm going to present a different angle on a very familiar passage of Scripture out of the book of Acts, chapter 1 and 2. And what I want us to think about before we get too far into this is, do you have someone in your life who doesn't know Jesus that you're having trouble communicating with? Or as you ponder it, you would say, how in the world would I ever get the gospel across to this person? Do you have anyone like that in your life? Yeah. I want you to think about that person like you've never thought about them before. Because this message is about you and them. And to some degree, it would apply to a church like Elwood, who is praying and seeking a way to minister the gospel with new wineskins. That's completely different than what they've been used to. But God's calling them to a different place and space. I invite you to stand with me as we read the Word of God together. I thank you, Caleb, for ministering to us in worship. Thank you for leading us into His presence tonight. I want to read a portion of Scripture to us this evening that will help establish sort of the groundwork for what I want to share this evening. Acts chapter 1, beginning at verse 4. Once when Jesus was eating with them, the disciples, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Verse 6. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore your kingdom? And he replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they're not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Chapter 2. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. And suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like a roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. And when they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. And they were completely amazed. "How can this be?" they exclaimed. "These people are from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages." Lord, I pray that you would help us in the short time we have this evening to hear once again your voice. This morning you helped us get a refresher, a reminder of how important it is to position ourselves in your presence so that we can hear your voice. And Lord, you helped all of us in one way or another commit ourselves not to harden our hearts, but to receive what you have for us. And I pray it again tonight. And as we think and pray and preach on this great power you've given us, the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Back during the pandemic, 2020, we were all frustrated because everything shut down, and I especially was frustrated because restaurants shut down, and I got to thinking about this. I'm glad we didn't have chips and salsa tonight. Pastor, we would really be full, and if you missed this morning, you'll just have to go back and listen to all of that. Well, I think you would agree with me that Chick-fil-A got an early start on how to navigate the drive-through experience. And I don't know if you've probably observed this, but over a period of time, other fast food restaurants with drive-throughs have sort of mimicked their strategy to great effectiveness. But I can remember during the pandemic, I was making my way to Chick-fil-A and was making my way around to the drive-thru, and there was a young man who was standing right in the order lines. There were three order lines. This was in Avon, Indiana, where we lived. And he was efficient and orderly in all that he was doing. He was in complete control of the Chick-fil-A drive-thru universe. So I rounded the corner, and when I did, he made eye contact with me. He held up three fingers and he pointed to the third drive-through lane. And immediately I knew what to do. The all-powerful Chick-fil-A drive-through sovereign God, small g, had instructed me, and I understood clearly what I was supposed to do. And all he needed was to give me three fingers and point. Now, there have been many times when I've been told what to do with one finger. But this was not one of those occasions. Chick-fil-A. Another example of unprecedented display of power is at a school crossing. You've seen them. They're in front of schools, and kids are making their way to the end of the sidewalk, and they stand on the curb, and eventually this individual, with all that they have is this octagonal sign made of thin metal with a stick on the end of it, walks out into the middle of a busy intersection and holds that sign up, and vehicles in the tens of thousands of pounds come to a screeching halt with this diminutive person holding up a stop sign. There in that moment, there's an individual who wields all the power to stop traffic dead in their tracks. Well, the thing about the church is that God has provided you and I an exponentially greater power, a greater degree of force to us normal, everyday believers. And it started in Pentecost, and Acts chapter 1 and 2 explains the story where 120 believers were gathered together in one place, and they were praying, and they were waiting, and they were in the presence of the Lord, and were told in that account that as they were doing that, they experienced a supernatural covering. These normal, regular, simple, uneducated followers of Jesus received the power of the Holy Spirit, and unctioned by all of that, they proceeded to change the world. It was predicted. Jesus said in Luke chapter 24, he's got the disciples around him, and he says, I now will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power. The reason I preached on that this morning about being filled and not getting filled up with the things of the world so that we could be filled up with the power of the Holy Spirit is for this service tonight to talk to you a little bit about why we're filled with the Holy Spirit. It's such an important subject. So why? Why in the world would God give us this precious gift of the Holy Spirit? Why did the Chick-fil-A guy, how did he direct traffic? The school crossing guard, how did they do that? They had been endued with power from their bosses and their authorities to fulfill a function, and everyone paid attention. And I just want to remind us tonight that God has given us the Holy Spirit for a particular purpose, and the purpose is greater than we might even imagine. So why? Well, I've got some ideas. I'm not going to read it all to you, but here's one reason we need the Holy Spirit. You can find it in Ephesians chapter 5. Read it a little later on this evening, where Paul is talking to the Ephesians on all the ways that they should be righteous and holy. And he's telling them, no sexual immorality or impurity or greed. Don't be easily fooled by sin. Live in the light. Verse 10, determine what pleases the Lord. Verse 11, expose the things in darkness. Verse 15, don't be a fool. Verse 16, understand your opportunities. Verse 17, understand what the Lord wants you to do. Verse 19, put a song in your heart. Verse 20, have a thankful attitude. Verses 21 to 33, build a strong marriage. I tell you what, there's an unbelievable amount of reasons why we should be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5 reminds us that there is no way we can live that kind of righteousness without the infilling of the Holy Spirit guiding us and helping us and sustaining us and convicting us. Aren't you glad tonight that the Holy Spirit in His kindness and grace comes alongside of us when we're about ready to mess up and says, hey, my child, you ought to not say that. So none of you have ever been in that spot before? You ought not do that. Or, hey, child, go for it. I'm with you. Whatever it might be. Well, as great a reason as that might be to be filled with the Holy Spirit, there's an even better reason. You know, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, he says, don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. I think what Paul was doing is he was dealing with a cultural phenomenon. I mean, let's just say that the early church was not, they weren't good Nazarenes. I mean, we like to say that they were like us Nazarenes and all the wine they drank was unfermented. I hope we've come to the understanding that that wasn't the case. Now, the Nazarenes have chosen a position of abstinence for a lot of good reasons that I'm not going to get in tonight, but Paul was dealing with something that they were dealing with. When people struggled and when they were going through difficult times and when they were struggling, I would guess that they would be tending to have more than one glass of wine with their evening pizza. I mean, I'm just trying to be practical about this. So he was saying, listen, you guys, there are better ways to handle your stuff than to get drunk on wine. Why not be filled with the Holy Spirit? Why not get your power from the Holy Spirit? Why not receive the power and the strength that comes from Him? And listen, in all reality, you can take the word drunk and cross it out and fill it with whatever you and I do in place of focusing on the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Are you following me, church? So one of the purposes of being filled with the Holy Spirit is that we receive power to overcome sin. Sin doesn't have to control us. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can be overcomers. Amen? Why would God send Jesus to the cross to die there, pay the penalty for our sins, shed His blood in the most gruesome of manners, only to leave us powerless over sin? Why would He want to save us and then have us sin in word, thought, and deed every single day? I submit to you, based on the authority of the Word, that the experience of entire sanctification and being filled with the Holy Spirit does not remove the possibility of sin, but through His power, He can give us victory over sin. Come on, church. We don't have to live in the bondage. And if we do sin, if we do mess up, we have a gracious Heavenly Father. The Word tells us that if anyone confesses their sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is how I define a holy person when it comes to sin, if we sin. I hope this is true about myself, but if I'm going through my journey, I'm driving along in my car, and someone tells me what to do with the famous finger, since I talked about it earlier, and I react emotionally. My wife says that I can suffer from road rage. You know, it's really interesting because all I do these days is drive. So y'all need to pray for me. But if I react in a sinful way, I'm so thankful for the closeness of the Holy Spirit who comes up beside me and says, Kellerman, that was stupid. And I love Jesus so much, I want to love him with all of my heart. You know what the sign of a truly holy person is? That when they recognize they've messed up, they want to deal with it right away because they can't stand separation from the God that they love with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Does that make sense? I'm thankful for our doctrine. Power over sin. It's a good reason to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's why our message of being saved and sanctified is so critical. I'm thankful tonight that as I walk with the Lord and as I grow in my understanding of Him, and I'm just thankful for His patience. I'm thankful for the time that I spend with Him intimately, and He continues to change me and mold me and make me into His image. We put a lot of our emphasis of the Holy Spirit on these things, and well we should. But I want us to refamiliarize ourselves with a part of the Pentecost story that we Nazarenes tend to jump over really quick. Hear the word. Acts 1 verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. So quick quiz. According to verse 8, why are we filled with the Holy Spirit from the words of Jesus? What is it? To be witnesses. The intention of the Holy Spirit life, is that we would be empowered to be kingdom participants that witness the goodness of God to a lost and dying world. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit to give us credibility in the world in which we're going to go out and operate tomorrow on a Monday if you're going off to work. And that credibility, being filled with the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit, that credibility enables us to fulfill the ultimate purpose, the main purpose of the Spirit-filled life, and that's to communicate Jesus to the people we come in contact with. And we can't do that. Church, we can't do that. That person I had you think about a moment ago, we can't do that without the fullness of the Holy Spirit. So I want to unpack something tonight, something I've been thinking about a lot. And it comes out of chapter 2, verse 4. So they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they went out into the community. It was the Feast of Pentecost, and Jewish folks from all over the country were packing into Jerusalem from different races, faces and places and languages. And the disciples went out, the apostles, the 120, and they began to speak the gospel in the known languages of the people who were there. We read about it. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. You know, I'm a district superintendent in the Church of the Nazarene. I'm a third generation Nazarene. So I don't want you to misunderstand me tonight. I believe in our doctrine, but I think sometimes we jump too quickly over this matter of tongues because it scares us. And I think when I'm done with what I'm going to say, you'll agree with me. On their own, these 120 had no ability, had no power to communicate the gospel to people who had flooded the city. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, they were able to speak known languages so that people could hear the good news of Jesus Christ in their own way of hearing and in their own language. Now, the only way I can relate this to my own experience is my growing up years on the mission field. I can account for many times my parents and other missionaries going into a mountain village or an outlying village that spoke in a dialect or language that my parents or another missionary didn't know. And somehow they stood before the people and they spoke as if they were speaking English or Mandarin, that's what we spoke. And somehow, through the power of the Holy Spirit, God would take Mandarin out of my dad's mouth and turn it into an Aboriginal dialect so that people heard the language of the gospel in their own ears and they would come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Do you believe that's possible? I believe it's possible because the Bible says it's possible. We're not talking about babbling. We're not talking about strange things. We're not talking about the extremes. I'm talking about my mom and dad who loved Jesus with all of their heart and soul and mind and strength, full of the Holy Spirit, just wanting to share Jesus. And God gave them the ability supernaturally to do that. You understand that? You know, in the Church of the Nazarene, you know, I have Pentecostal family members. We both believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, my Pentecostal brothers and sisters, they would say that the initial evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. And that's where we as Nazarenes will part ways. That's where Kellerman turns on his heel and goes a different direction. Because we believe the evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit is the fruit of the Spirit, where we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we live out grace and peace and kindness and goodness and self-control and loving our neighbor as ourselves. Amen? That's the evidence. That's we want to live out and communicate. Nothing against our Pentecostal brothers and sisters. Listen, there's going to be a bunch of them in heaven. Get used to it. Now, that's what was going on in that particular environment. So I think the Church of the Nazarene is spot on in how we approach this. But I think sometimes we get so nervous about our position that we sort of gloss over that thing. And I come to you tonight with a different approach to this whole concept. We believe that those who are filled with the Holy Spirit are marked by the call of Jesus to be full of love for God and full of love for our neighbor. That's the evidence. And we believe that those who are filled with the Holy Spirit have surrendered their right to themselves and have yielded control to God as our supreme leader. He's the divine Chick-fil-A guy. We get eye contact with us. He holds up three fingers and tells us what to do and where to go. And if we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we're going to walk in obedience. Amen? This is how it rolls. So let me make my point. I don't know if you've noticed, but we live in complicated times. Have you noticed? And I have trouble sometimes communicating the living hope of Jesus to some. I made a list here. We have racial divides. We have political differences. There are issues related to LGBTQ. There are difficult people we work with. We have family members that drive us bonkers. Not the one beside you. Don't do that. There are people who have deep wounds and hurts and addictions. Sometimes I have trouble as a baby boomer relating to a millennial or a Gen Z. There's sometimes I think I'm doing great. And then I walk up and say something and they look at me like I'm from Mars. Like, I didn't do that right. But these are the people that God has called you and I to minister to. And here's the truth. A lot of them speak a different language than you do. I don't mean the language of our birth, like English, for instance. I mean a cultural language. I mean a lifestyle language. I mean a cultural language. You've never lived in their context, so it's hard to communicate in a way that they will understand your heart. Have you ever tried to tell someone out of a heart of love about Jesus and they come back at you and rip you to shreds because somehow they're offended? Somehow it didn't come out right. And most of the time it's not our fault, but it's a terrible feeling. And you walk away going, man, I blew that. Here's what I know. I don't have the language skills to communicate like I ought to. But just like the Chick-fil-A guy and the crossing guard and the disciples on the day of Pentecost, we have a powerful force behind us called the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. And if we let him, if we wait on him like we talked about this morning, if we're truly willing to go after those who don't know Jesus and linger in the presence of the Lord until he fills us with his Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, I just believe he'll enable you in his time and his way to say things to the people in our lives who don't know the Lord and enable us to speak things we never thought we would be able to say because he's enabling us to, watch it now, speak in tongues. Are you with me? Speak in their heart language. I hope you understand me. I'm a true blue Nazarene, all right? Don't go right in the general superintendent and say that DS, he's way off in left field. I think I can support myself theologically because God has put us in an environment and in a place and a way where unless the Holy Spirit fills us and anoints us and puts words in our mouth, we will never be able to communicate love to the LGBTQ community. We just won't be able to, but God can help us. This season that we're in, there's never been a better opportunity. Never been a better opportunity to position ourselves to wait and linger in the presence of the Lord and to pray and wait like the 120 did and just tell Jesus, listen, God, I don't know how to talk to my lost son or my lost daughter. I don't have the words, Jesus. If you're going to use me, you're going to have to put something in my heart, in my head, and through my mouth that they'll understand. I believe the Holy Spirit can do that, don't you? God, I don't understand my neighbor. I don't understand where he's coming from. But God, you're going to have to help me. Lord, I commit myself to you that I'm going to linger in your presence until you show me and give me opportunity and speak through me in a kind and graceful way that allows me to say something I never thought I would say. But when I walk away, I'll go, well, how'd that happen? And you'd walk away knowing only God, only God, only God. Have you got someone like that in your life tonight? Someone's got to be able to somehow share Jesus with them. And listen, it may not be you. I love the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. You know that story? That guy was in the chariot and he was working through Isaiah and he was going, this is crazy stuff to me. I don't. Philip comes along and just says, hey, can I help you? And he's able to speak to that Ethiopian in just the right way, where that very day he was baptized in the faith of Jesus. Every time I preach this message, I'm convicted. I'm convicted at the times that I backstep away from people and circumstances that intimidate me, that I don't think I've got what it takes to say what needs to be said. And sometimes that's the Holy Spirit telling me it's not time. Sometimes it's just fear. You may not ever be able to speak Spanish, but you may be able to tell a lost friend under the deepest, darkest cloak of evil, you may be able to speak truth to them in a heart language that Jesus gives to you in that moment. That's what I'm going after here tonight. I'm going to ask our musicians to come and help us as we prepare to close this. I wish I had about 5 more days with you. So when Pastor Dylan asked me to come, I just began to pray, and I just heard the Holy Spirit say, I just want you to tell my people that the thing I long for the most is to increase intimacy with them, that they would just linger in my presence and get to know me and hear my voice and not harden their hearts. And then tonight, it's that point. It's that point. Holy Spirit is speaking to all of us because we're all in the same boat. We've all got someone that needs to know and hear and understand Jesus. But you don't speak the language, maybe. And I think I hear the Holy Spirit challenging us by the reminder that the most important reason that we're filled with the Holy Spirit is so that we could be witnesses. I'd like you to stand if you would. I honestly never really know how to have a response time. I didn't plan it out. But I think what what the Holy Spirit would be pleased with is if once again you would just join me at the altar. I mean, I'm under conviction of my own message. And if you have someone in your life that you just want them to know the love of Jesus, the gospel, and you want to pray that God gives you the words or someone the words somewhere to lead them to the love of Christ, can we just agree tonight that that's what we want Holy Spirit to do for us? So if that's you tonight, why don't we just come down and pray and commit ourselves and ask the Lord to help us bring these precious people that I told you to think about earlier. Let's just pray. Let's just pray for them and us as we worship. Come on.